now I am delighted to say that I am joined in studio by our resident financial expert, and that is, of course, Mel Shanley.
Good morning, Linda.
You did get caught in those traffic lights that I warned people about this morning on the Yall side of Dungarvan.
The traffic lights are all on red for anyone heading the Dungarvan direction. They're all on red in every direction, so it's a bit of a lottery, so be careful.
Yeah, so bear that in mind. If you're heading down Dungarvan for whatever reason, put a couple of extra minutes on your journey. Now, we are going to have a chat today about an issue, I suppose, it's becoming an issue for more and more people, and there seems to be a big question mark over it, and that, of course, is life insurance for cohabiting people in particular. Why is this such a minefield?
Okay, well, I suppose really a lot of these problems have only come about since the popularity in divorce. And I know there's people blessing themselves all over the southern half of East Cork now, but divorce obviously has become a big part of our society now. And before divorce, though, you typically have a period of time where you're separated. And most people, thankfully, find new partners and move on in their lives. And things like life assurance, which might seem very, very simple, but hugely important thing to have, kind of gets a little bit neglected in that the policies remain in force, but they forget that, you know, I used to pay that life policy out of that bank account, and okay, my partner or my spouse or my husband or wife is now removed from that policy. They've done their own thing. And my new partner now, hopefully, if, you know, she would get that money if I died, and et cetera, et cetera. But a little bit of care has to be taken, because if you're now cohabiting, and you have things like life assurance and illness policies and even pensions and investments and things like that, you must have a really, really close look of how they are set up and structured in your new family unit, as we'd call it.
Because one of the big things that will arise that people don't think of is the question of inheritance tax. Technically, yeah. your partner could be subject to inheritance tax.
Yeah, and it is, and there is a couple of horror stories out there, and we've heard of a few very close by to us here, that a simple little thing like the policy being paid out of a joint bank account. So let's say, for example, I come from a previous relationship, and I come into a new relationship, and that my new partner has also come from a previous relationship. So to use the term baggage, we both have baggage coming with us, but, you know, it's good baggage, but it's baggage nonetheless. So we need to know how we store that baggage in order to, you know, go forward in our lives. So one thing that's really, really important is that for things like financial matters, a joint bank account, a simple thing like a joint bank account is really, really important for the new family unit. And it might be a thing that you've never had before. Oh, what's mine is mine, and what's hers is hers, and all this kind of old talk. But a joint bank account solves massive problems, because even if you in the new family unit, yourself and your partner, decide to put 10 or 20 or 30 euros a week together into this to pay for things like insurances, there's no issue then around inheritance, because you paid for the insurance together, jointly, as a partnership. But where there are problems is that, you know, if I paid for my life assurance policy and in my new family unit, and God forbid I died, my partner or new partner or spouse would have an inheritance tax issue on inheriting that life assurance, because they didn't pay for it and they weren't my legal spouse at that time. So there are issues around it, and it's just something we wanted to highlight this week. It is a little bit technical. It is a little bit complicated. People like to bury their heads in the sand and say, oh, listen, I my head is wrecked. I can't. But we're just suggesting to people that really start to consider this. There are now upwards of 200,000 cohabiting couples now in Ireland. Male, female, male, male, female, female. You know, it doesn't matter. You're cohabiting. And you need to do, you know, you need to do good housekeeping around this kind of financial stuff that goes on in houses and partnerships. And
is there a minimum term or a minimum amount of time where people are together, let's say somebody, for example, is together for 6 months only. And if after the 6 months they decide to set up a joint bank account and they start paying their life insurance from that, and God forbid, 2 months down the line, one of them dies, does that still class as cohabiting? Is there a set amount of time that people have to be living together before they're deemed to be cohabiting?
No, my understanding is that if you set up a family home together, right, you're sharing the rent, the mortgage, you may even have children together, right? But you are, and the basis of life insurance as well is there a financial deficit, or is there a financial issue around, you know, an insurable interest? That's what they call it, an insurable interest. So if I set up home with my new partner, there's an immediate insurable interest because we've set up home together. We have financial costs about us. We're making a home together. We have, you know, we're starting a new life. Okay, so my understanding is there is no moratorium on time around this. But I mean, I suppose to be a little bit flippant about it, you know, you can't, you know, set up a new partner this week and 2 weeks later take out a life insurance policy and, you know, 10 minutes after that, then God forbid there's a death, and next minute you're trying to prove an insurable interest. But we're talking about bona fide, you know, cohabiting couples that are making a life together for themselves. And it's clear that they're making a life together for themselves. They're sharing the same dwelling. They're sharing the costs to do with that dwelling, the expenses that go with it, your electricity, your gas, your phone, your all of those things, your shopping, your, you know, your house insurance, you're running a car together, so on. So it's quite easy to prove that it is a bona fide relationship and a bona fide cohabiting partnership. I suppose the common denominator would be that in a lot of cases, a new family unit like that, the new partnership might have a child together, which I suppose is the binding unit between all. So it's quite easy then to show that there is, you know, a bona fide partnership here, a cohabiting arrangement or whatever it is. So it's my understanding is that there is no issue around that.
Is the question of inheritance tax applicable if you hold a joint life insurance policy together? Is inheritance tax only applicable if it's, let's say, one partner with one life insurance and another partner with another, and then in the event that one of them dies, they're two separate life insurance? What happens if it is a joint life insurance policy?
Yeah, there's no issue there, because a joint life policy, you know, from inception, so when the policy was taken out day one, it was taken out as a partnership or dual life or a joint life policy. So there would have had to be an insurable interest there from the start. That might have been, you know, you were buying a house together, so you were sharing a mortgage. And just on that point alone, that's typical of what's happening in Ireland, right? When a relationship breaks down, right, usually somebody leaves the family home. And after, you know, after matters get sorted out, somebody is left in the family home, possibly paying the mortgage on their own, or paying the mortgage with support from the ex-partner, ex-spouse or whatever. But that spouse no longer then is listed on the mortgage, we'll say, for example. So therefore, that mortgage protection policy, you know, if that person was to die, you know, there's no longer a liability, there's no longer an insurable interest there. Do you know what I mean? So that separation must take place once those affairs are sorted, and, you know, the house is signed over, or the, you know, and usually what you'll see is in that situation, the properties are sold, and, you know, whatever is left from the proceeds of the sale, it's split 50-50, and they go on with their lives, you know, in other directions. But life insurance policies are, you just need to talk to your advisors, talk to your, you know, in insurance advisor, your broker, your accountant, your tax advisor, whoever it is that you look to for advice. If you are a person who has been in a previous relationship and now you're in a new cohabiting relationship and you're not particularly interested in getting married, but you're mad about the person you're with and you see them staying there indefinitely, Matters like life assurance, pensions, things like that, really, really important that you do good housekeeping around those.
I suppose the biggest thing is don't take it for granted. Don't assume that, or we're living together for 10 years, sure, aren't we? Don't assume, because in the eyes of the law, that doesn't necessarily mean the case. And more times than not, unfortunately, it's not until somebody passes away that this raises its ugly head, and then people are in an awful mess. They're dealing with grief, and now they're dealing with financial burdens, they're dealing with all of this. So the biggest thing, and we always say this, pick up the phone and look for advice.
Yeah, don't assume anything. And you're dead right. It is only in the event of something horrible happening, like a death or something like that, where this becomes a big problem. And it's too late then at that stage. You can't fix it at that stage. And, you know, you could have an inheritance tax issue of maybe 33% of whatever.
And
not only that, you might have, you know, the previous relationship maybe coming looking for some of that life assurance policy, and they mightn't be entitled to it, but they might be more entitled to it than you are, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So look, get your stuff in order, you know, get talking to people, root out that top drawer, find out what policies are in it, what's live, what you haven't sorted out. I know it's a terrible time when you do, you know, have a breakdown in a relationship, but you must be mature about it. You know, once your grieving process is over, you've lost your partner, you've moved on to a new life. Maybe you're happy to move on in certain cases. But, you know, do the housekeeping and find the time to sit down and work out those things, that detail, and get it done.
Mel, as always, thanks a million for coming down. You will be back with us again next month. You can come back next week if you want. We might leave it till next month. Mel, thanks a million for that.